The Story of the Two Coins. Introduction. Have you ever wondered how things went for the poor widow who put her last two coins into the offering box? It's mentioned in Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21, so it must have really happened. But what happened to the poor widow after she gave all she had? The Jesus that I believe in probably did something to help her. But we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us anything about what followed. So, since I've wondered many times, I decided to put together some thoughts that I have had. And maybe this isn't exactly how it went, but it could be close. So sit back and relax and listen to the story of the two coins. The Story of the Two Coins. Chapter 1. The Servant Girl. We'll begin this story talking about a young man named Benjamin. Benjamin was the second son of a wealthy landowner, and he was born into the tribe of Judah. His father was a kind, generous man. He loved each member of his family and treated them all equally. He even treated his servants as family. Benjamin loved his father and all the other family members. They lived about 5 miles east of Emmaus, which is a little town west of Jerusalem. From time to time, Benjamin would walk several miles on Friday evening in order to attend the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He would listen as the priests would read the scrolls. But Benjamin's father died when he was 16 years old. His oldest brother, Hiram, the firstborn son, inherited the land that had been in the family for hundreds of years. But Hiram wasn't like his father, who was kind and generous. Hiram kept back what his father had been paying Benjamin over the years and gave him much less. Benjamin went to Hiram and asked why. Hiram explained that the harvest was less than normal this year. Benjamin said, "It looks the same this year as it did last year." And Hiram said, "It's my decision and it stands." Benjamin felt like he was being treated like one of the servants, and they had many servants. He decided, "Okay, I'll strike out on my own and find employment or become a servant for another master." So he packed his belongings and headed for the area around Jerusalem to work where he would be close to the synagogue. Benjamin found work as a servant on a small farm south of Jerusalem near Bethlehem, where they raised cattle and wheat. Now he could easily attend the synagogue every Sabbath day. You may be asking, why did you start this story talking about a young man named Benjamin? It's supposed to be about two mites that a lady dropped into the offering box at the synagogue. Well, okay, let's talk about the lady, okay? Her name was Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth was the daughter of a servant. She was the daughter of a servant family that had been servants for many generations. She was a beautiful 13-year-old girl. She lived in a very small cottage on a very small wheat farm just a few miles north of Jerusalem, and that's where her family had lived over many generations, in the same house. It was such a small farm that they only needed two families of servants, and the families didn't earn much and weren't fed much. Her family walked to the synagogue in Jerusalem every Sabbath day. They went together and usually dropped a few coins into the offering box, and they gave what would be worth about a half a day's pay, which was a considerable sacrifice because they were very poor. They had been doing the same thing for years, and were pleased to give to God because he had taken such good care of them and kept them employed as servants. The other family of servants had a son named Joseph, and he was about the same age as Elizabeth. The parents of each family had just always assumed that someday Joseph and Elizabeth would be wed. Both children had never given much thought to it, and they spent a lot of time together, just like a brother and sister would. They often held hands together while walking to the synagogue and back. But one Sabbath morning, as they came to the steps of the synagogue, Elizabeth's hand relaxed and let go. The Story of the Two Coins. Chapter 2. The New Friend. Joseph was a little surprised when, as they walked up the steps of the synagogue, Elizabeth let go of his hand. But he didn't give much thought to it. It was something they had just normally done since who knows when. And, as usual, they sat next to each other throughout the service. But Elizabeth seemed to be kind of fidgety this week. Was she okay? On the way back home, although she held hands, she seemed to be distracted. Joseph asked her if she had liked the part where the mean teenagers were making fun of Elisha and the bears tore them to pieces. But Elizabeth responded with, "What part was that?" She had not been listening. Joseph tried to discuss it with her, but her mind was somewhere else. What was going on? A week later, on the next Sabbath day, Elizabeth held hands with Joseph until they got in sight of the synagogue. She straightened her hair and so forth and made herself look nicer. As they came to the entrance, she looked and looked. What was she looking for? Joseph thought. A few months earlier, she had noticed a very strong, handsome-looking young man who had come to the synagogue. She had never forgotten how she felt that Sabbath day. Then last week, there he was again. She was hoping to see him this week, but he wasn't there. On the way home after the service, she held Joseph's hand, and in the same old way. But the following week, as she came to the steps of the synagogue, there he was again. Oops, he noticed her staring at him. He smiled. Her heart went wild inside. She smiled back and looked the other way as she walked next to Joseph into the synagogue. Who was that new young man? She casually looked for him as they left the service, but didn't see him. Until her family turned the corner heading toward home. There he was, just standing there as they walked toward him. He politely nodded at them all and said, "Hello." Elizabeth couldn't help herself and said, "Hello back." Her father quickly looked around at her to see who she spoke to. She quickly let go of Joseph's hand. Her father noticed the young man and also said, "Hello." He stopped and asked him his name. "Benjamin," he replied. "How do you do?" Her father said, "Fine. Nice to meet you." And they continued on toward home. The next week seemed to last forever, as Elizabeth waited and waited for the next Sabbath day. When would she see Benjamin again, if he would ever be there? Well, to make a long story short, he was there, and after the service he and her family visited and got to know each other. And week after week, they all became better friends. He told them how he had left home and was working on a cattle farm. Elizabeth was very sure to make it known that she and Joseph were like brother and sister. About 6 months went by, and on one Sabbath after the service, Benjamin asked her father if he could spend some time with Elizabeth and walk her home a little later. Well, her father trusted him by then, and so he agreed. Of course, Elizabeth, who was in love with Benjamin by this time, was surprised and delighted. The time went by too fast for the two of them, but Benjamin got her home within a couple of hours and returned to his home at the cattle farm where he was a servant. That day started a routine that went on for several months, until one Sabbath day when Benjamin asked her father if he could marry Elizabeth. Now this was a surprise and disappointment to Elizabeth's parents. They had always expected their daughter to become the wife of Joseph, and Joseph had always just expected the same thing, too. Elizabeth's parents asked her what she thought, and she was so excited she could hardly speak. As it was the custom, she had never made any mention of her feelings for Benjamin. It was several weeks of arguments and disagreements before Elizabeth was regretfully allowed to marry Benjamin. A wedding finally did take place, and Benjamin and Elizabeth became happily married. Elizabeth packed up her belongings and moved in with Benjamin in his little hut on the cattle farm. As time went by, the couple were blessed with a little boy who they named Levi. He had black, curly hair and the most beautiful smile the two of them had ever seen. Elizabeth had been helping as a servant on the cattle farm, but after Levi's birth, she became much busier caring for him. The landowner was okay with that and told her that she had been given Levi as a gift from heaven. But he didn't provide extra for the extra mouth, which made it difficult to provide for all their needs as time went by. His funds were running low. He had butchered too many cattle. They were not selling. They were rotting. He had spent all he could on salt to preserve what he had left, but they were becoming unsaleable. After Benjamin and Elizabeth came back from the marketplace one day, after spending all they had, they looked at each other and said, "What will we do?" Benjamin opened his little leather purse to find only two coins laying at the bottom. He pulled them out and said, "This is all we have in the world, Elizabeth." They were two little mites. Elizabeth said, "Keep those coins. Let's pray and see what God will do. We will never spend those two coins, ever." Benjamin agreed and set them on the table where they both bowed to pray. About that time, people were getting excited about this man named Jesus. The one time he had come to the synagogue to read the scripture, the place was packed. He read it so much better than when the priest did. It sounded as if he wasn't even reading. The people began following him everywhere he went, and he would stop and preach to them for a little while here and there. Elizabeth heard that he was coming their direction one day and asked Benjamin if she could take little Levi and go hear him preach. Benjamin said, "Please be careful, but go and come back and tell me all that he said." So she packed up Levi and all that she could carry and began her walk toward Jerusalem. When she found the people gathered around him, it was impossible to get very close. But he spoke in such a way that even from a distance, he sounded close by. She listened closely as he spoke. "But love ye your neighbors, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." When he finished, she understood why her parents had always made sure to give as much as possible. She recalled how God had always taken such good care of them. She couldn't wait to get Levi back home and tell Benjamin what she had heard. She hurried as fast as she could so as not to forget those blessed promises. But when she arrived, Benjamin was not in the house. She sat down and drank some water, looking at those two little coins on the table, thinking, "Hurry home, hurry home." But as it began to get dark, he had not hurried home. He had not returned. She left Levi and began looking for him around the farm. Where was he? The story of the two coins. Chapter 3. He's gone. Elizabeth opened her eyes as she awoke, with her head laying on the table. It was morning, and someone was knocking loudly at the door. "Who is it?" she called. "Wake up, Benjamin. He's late," the landowner yelled back. "Just a minute," she replied, and got out of her chair, wondering if Benjamin had come home during the night. But when she walked into where they slept, he wasn't there. She rushed back to the door, opened it, and said, "He's not here. Where is he?" The landowner said, "The neighbor's fence has fallen down, and his cattle are in our pasture. We need his help to round them up." Elizabeth answered, "He didn't come home last night. I don't know where he is." "Thanks," he said, and he ran off quickly. Elizabeth was wondering what was going on when she heard Levi, who had been awakened. She rushed in to where his crib was, picked him up, and helped him stop crying. She carried him out, put him on the table, and was changing his clothing when she saw the two coins laying there. "Where is Benjamin?" She fed Levi, sat down, rocked him in her lap, praying for help from God. Several hours went by. Levi had fallen asleep. She opened the door and sat on the step, looking across the field. Sometime later, a horse-drawn cart led by a stranger was coming closer. He pulled up in front of her door and said, "Ma'am, could you please come look?" She got up, introduced herself, and walked around to the back of the cart. There were two bodies, one the landowner and the other.
"No! No, no," she cried. "No, no, no."
It was Benjamin's body, dead, lying there, covered in blood. Her heart sank. She became lightheaded and began to sway. The stranger grabbed her shoulder and steadied her. He said both were killed by a bull from the neighbor's cattle. "It looks like the young man was killed hours ago."
"No, no, no," Elizabeth cried softly, as her knees bent and she fell across the lifeless legs of the one she had loved so much. "No, no, no," she said.
The stranger introduced himself and said, "Is there anyone else around to help bury these bodies?" "No," she said, "the landowner had let all the help go. There's no one." He answered, "I'm one of the neighbor's servants. I'll get help. Will you be okay?" As Elizabeth's eyes began to fill with tears, she said, "Go. Please go. Thank you, sir." She went into the house and brought out a damp cloth. She reached across the edge of the cart and began slowly cleaning the blood from the face of her beloved Benjamin. When she finished, she again slumped to the ground in tears. When the men returned, she had gone into the house. They explained that they would bury the two bodies just inside the little fence that ran around the landowner's house. She was sitting at the table with little Levi on her lap, staring at those two coins. Now what? Later that day, she stood and watched as they filled the grave, covering that broken body of the one she had loved so much. She held Levi in one arm, as the other arm was stretched into the pocket of her robe, her fingers grasping those two worthless coins. She slowly raised little Levi's head up close to hers and softly whispered into his ear, "He's gone, Levi. He's gone." The Story of the Two Coins, Chapter 4, All She Had. Elizabeth felt all alone. Of course, she had Levi, who she had loved dearly from the day he was born. The landowner was gone, all the help was gone, and Benjamin was gone. What should she do? What could she do? The following day, the nearby neighboring landowner knocked on her door. When she answered, he introduced himself and kindly began asking how he could help. She invited him in, and they sat down at the table. It was agreed he would try to find the nearest kinsman to the dead landowner. He would pay that person for the cattle, and he would give her an amount of money for the loss of her husband. Elizabeth agreed, and as time went by, she had a small, small sum of money to live on, thanks to the neighbor. She remained living in that little house until a kinsman could be located. After grieving for some weeks, she decided to visit her parents, who had highly objected to her marriage to Benjamin. It was about a 10-mile walk, more or less, and so she started early in the morning. She arrived at her parents' house with little Levi just before sundown. She knocked, and her parents answered. It was not a good welcoming home. They asked where Benjamin was. She explained, held out little Levi for them to hold. Her arms were tired. Her father said, "Who is this, and don't be looking for a place to stay with a crying baby?" Tears began to fill her eyes when her mother broke in, "Please come in and stay tonight. You look tired." Her mother spent most of the rest of the evening holding little Levi. Her father made it clear she was leaving first thing in the morning. She started early the next day and arrived home very tired and very broken-hearted. She had lost her husband. She had lost her means of making any kind of a life for Levi. She didn't know what to do next. But whenever she placed her hand into her pocket, she still had those two coins. Elizabeth continued living in the little house for some time because no one had been able to locate a kinsman so far. But the remittance she had received from the neighboring farmer was slowly disappearing. Why didn't he just keep his fences better so they wouldn't be knocked down? Why? Well, Levi was learning how to walk and speak words, but Elizabeth knew she couldn't raise him alone. Widows were not well received. They were considered a burden, especially if they had a little one to support. Still, she took him to the synagogue every Sabbath to hear the scripture read. From time to time, Jesus would attend, and sometimes he would read the scripture, which she loved to hear. It seemed to be so easy to recall the words he spoke. She still remembered most of what she heard him say on the last day that Benjamin was alive. It went something like, "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful, and judge not, and be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. And forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." She also remembered the part that said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." It went like, "Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together." There was more to it, but it said, "Shall men give unto your bosom?" But with the same measure, she couldn't remember the rest. But she did remember that much. Those last words seemed to have more meaning now when she was alone and becoming more and more needy. Forgive and be forgiven. Give and be given unto. She knew she held a grudge against the neighbor for not keeping his fence up. Benjamin would still be alive if he had only done things better. So she prayed and asked God to forgive her as she, in her heart, had forgiven the neighbor. As she prayed, he also spoke to her heart to go and forgive him in person. Well, so one day she walked over to his property, located him, and explained that she held no grudge. He looked at her smiling, questioning in his mind what all this meant. Was she wanting more money? He said thanks and turned his back and walked away. That wasn't what she had expected, but at least she did the right thing. But that small sum of money he had given her for the death of her husband was nearly gone. She had always dropped a few coins into the offering box just like her parents had when they went to the synagogue, but those coins were nearly gone. After a few weeks, there was very little food on the shelves of the little house where she lived, and there was no more money. Every time she put her hand into her pocket and felt those two coins, she was tempted to buy food with them. But those two coins were all she had left of the Benjamin she had loved. She missed him so much. She would often sit on the doorstep at night, recalling how the two of them had done that. They shared their dreams of the future as they stared at the sky. She thought about the times that they had sat across the table from each other, sharing past experiences from when they were growing up. Sometimes she would sit staring at his sandals, recalling how she had removed them from his feet after coming in from the fields, and how she lovingly held each foot while she washed them with a damp cloth. No, she would never spend those 2 coins. Never. But as time passed, and Levi began crying himself to sleep with hunger, and she was getting weak, she had to do something. She prayed for help. Those 2 coins wouldn't buy what they needed. She prayed and prayed, yet nothing changed. On the next Sabbath day, Jesus was to be at the synagogue. Elizabeth wanted to hear him read the scriptures. Although little Levi wasn't feeling too well, she carried him the few miles into Jerusalem. People were crowded around Jesus as he sat near the front in the area of the offering box. He was answering their questions and teaching them little things before the start of the preaching. Elizabeth was totally broke. She had no coins to put into the offering this week. She just couldn't bear losing those 2 coins she and Benjamin had laughed and loved about. As she saw Jesus sitting there, she remembered his words, "Give." She reached her fingers toward those 2 coins. She pulled them together between her fingers. It was as if she was holding Benjamin in her hand. She didn't want to say goodbye, but finally, with tears in her eyes, she lifted them from her pocket, reached toward the box. Slowly, one by one, she dropped them out of sight into the darkness of that box. She knew in her heart she had given everything. More than 2 coins. She had given everything. Then she heard Jesus say, as he called unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast all she had." As Elizabeth found a seat for her and Levi, she knew she would never forget the words spoken by Jesus. Did he know that much about her when he said, "All she had"? The Story of the 2 Coins. Chapter 5. Who is Hiram? Levi was restless and cranky through the reading of the scripture and the preaching of Jesus that morning. Elizabeth was unable to concentrate on all that was said. She did listen as closely as possible when a scroll of the book of Isaiah was given to him. For some reason, Levi seemed to quiet down into a light sleep. Jesus read the part that read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Oh, those words sounded so sweet and pure in her ears. Jesus was reading them. Heal the brokenhearted? Preach the gospel to the poor? Did he really know my heart? She wondered. That was the day in Elizabeth's life when she knew she would always be one of his disciples. While sitting there holding her sleeping little Levi, she promised God she was devoted to following him. Elizabeth regretted to see the service come to an end. She didn't know what she was going to do or how to keep Levi fed. She dreaded having to walk home to an empty house. She was truly brokenhearted. When Levi woke up, he was saying, "Water, water." There was a fountain outside on the side of the synagogue, So she made her way toward that. She cupped her hands and made a cup for Levi to sip out of. Then she did the same for herself. When she finished, she decided to begin the long, lonely walk home. As she grasped Levi's hand, he pointed with the other hand and said, "Look, horsey, horsey!" A man had just pulled up across from the synagogue in a wagon being pulled by two horses. They both watched as he set the brake and stood up on the seat facing the people coming out of the synagogue. He cupped his hand and shouted, "Does any man know a man from Emmaus named Hiram?" He repeated it again. "Does anyone know a man from Emmaus named Hiram?" No one paid much attention, but he continued shouting. Elizabeth gave a gentle pull on Levi's hand, and they began the long walk home. Levi was so interested in the wagon and horses, he was very slow at beginning to move. Elizabeth finally lifted him into her arms and began walking. Where had she heard that name before? She wondered as they walked away. Levi was becoming more and more aggravated as his hunger pangs increased. But what could she do? Her heart was broken for Levi, a hungry little child with no hope for relief. The road was uneven and rocky, and as she walked, a small stone became lodged in her sandal. She set Levi down, and as she bent over to undo the leather strap, she asked herself, where had she heard the name Hiram before? Then she removed the stone, put on her sandal, retied the strap, picked up Levi, and continued home. After she had gone about a quarter mile, she decided to pray for the Lord to help that man looking for Hiram. Then she continued on, still trying to recall where she had heard that name. Then she remembered. Benjamin had an older brother by the name of Hiram. He had inherited the land when their father died. He was the one who treated Benjamin so unfairly. She thought, if that's the same person, who cares if he finds him or not? Just then she was reminded of some of her promises that day to become a disciple of Jesus, and of the words she remembered hearing on the last day that Benjamin was alive. And she went to hear Jesus. He had said, "Love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest." How did those words pop into her mind at just that moment, she thought. Okay, I must hurry back to the synagogue before that man is gone. It was difficult holding Levi as she tried as hard as she could to return to the synagogue. Would he still be there? She hoped and prayed that he would. As she was coming into view, there was the wagon across from the synagogue. But no one was in it now. She put Levi down to walk, as she slowly walked, out of breath, toward the wagon. Levi was still amazed and excited about the horses. He seemed to have forgotten about his hunger for the moment. Elizabeth decided to just wait by the wagon until the owner returned. But it was beginning to get warm outside. After several minutes, the man did return with his pouch over his shoulder. He greeted her, and she asked, "Did you find Hiram?" He answered, "No, but do you know of him?" Elizabeth said, "No, but my husband had an older brother by that name, and he came from Emmaus." Just then, little Levi began to fuss and complain about being hungry and thirsty. The man said, "My name is John. Here, let me help," as he lowered his pouch from his shoulder. He reached in and handed Levi a small loaf of bread. Levi's face lit up, and he began devouring that little loaf at a rate that John had never seen before. He asked Elizabeth if the lad had eaten that day, and she said, "No." He said, "Have you?" And she said, "No." He said, "Here, climb into the wagon. We're heading back to the marketplace." They all climbed in. Levi needed help because he wasn't about to let go of that little loaf of bread. But his eyes were open wide when John motioned to the horses to move. He had never ridden in a wagon before. It was just a short ride to the market that provided various dinner trays, but for a very expensive price. John helped them both down, and they found an empty table where they could sit. He motioned to one of the helpers and ordered a lunch for the three of them. By now, Elizabeth was dumbfounded. Where did this John come from, and why was he helping us? Finally, as they waited for their food, this stranger asked Elizabeth where her husband was. He said he wanted to find the right person to talk to. Elizabeth explained that he was dead. John looked away and sat still for a moment, and then asked, "Please tell me about him. He was from Emmaus?" She said, "Yes. Why?" John began to explain that Hiram had also died recently, and those who tended to the estate knew there was a younger brother somewhere, but they could not recall his name. "Please tell me," he said. So Elizabeth began telling him all she could recall from their conversations. While she was doing that, the helper brought the food to their table. As soon as it had been set on the table, Elizabeth stopped her dialogue and said, "Thank you for all of this, John. You have been sent by God, surely." Then, as she ate, she continued her story between bites. But she soon stopped when she noticed John didn't seem to be paying any attention. He was kind of staring off into nowhere at the top of the overhead sunroof. After a moment, he looked at her and asked, "Is this your child?" She nodded her head, "Yes." He asked, "Is this Benjamin's child?" Again, she nodded her head, "Yes," and took another bite. After a few moments, John explained, "I am a hired servant of Hiram's property. I was sent to find that younger brother, but he is no longer alive. That means that this little guy," "What's his name?" Elizabeth answered, "Levi." "This little guy, Levi, is the nearest kinsman. Levi is now the owner of all the properties of his grandfather. He has just inherited a fortune left to him by a very kind man whose name was also Levi. God bless you both." Elizabeth suddenly remembered some of the words of Jesus, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." Tears filled her eyes as she shook John's hand and hugged little Levi, nearly spilling the water he held in his little hand. Then they all finished their meal and sat and visited for a while, until John suggested he take them to Emmaus. They climbed into the wagon. Levi lay down in the back and fell asleep from the rocking of the wagon. All the way to Emmaus, Elizabeth couldn't stop thanking God for how he kept asking her, "Who is Hiram?" As they bounced along, several times she reached into her pocket expecting to find those two coins. And each time she remembered seeing them both drop into the offering box. Those two coins were all she had that morning. She had given all she had.